This is America in the Morning from Westwood One. Good morning, I'm John Trout. It's Wednesday, April 24th, 2024. Here's what's coming up on America in the Morning.
Arguments on whether Donald Trump violated the gag order among the highlights of the second day of his hush money trial in New York. I'm John Stolness.
More pro-Palestinian encampments popping up at American universities.
Our administration has been ignoring us.
I'm Clayton Neville.
A $95 billion aid package is moving ahead in the Senate that includes billions for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. Ed Donahue, Washington.
Two dead, one kidnapped, a cop accused. An update from the state of Oregon.
On Wall Street, stocks open this morning after a winning day for the markets yesterday. Tesla with disappointing quarterly results. I'm Jessica Ettinger.
A Senate race in Pennsylvania could decide the balance of power in Washington.
U.S. measles cases are up this year. I'm Shelley Adler.
All ahead on America in the Morning. Whether former President Donald Trump violated his gag order in his hush money case took center stage at the start of Tuesday's trial. A Trump ally from his 2016 political campaign also took the stand. More on day two of the trial from our John Stolness.
Judge Juan Merchan heard from prosecutors and Trump's lawyers over whether or not Trump's Truth Social posts and comments to the press about people involved in the hush money case violated a gag order that restricts what he can say. Trump spoke to reporters towards the end of the day holding a stack of news articles that he says are critical of the case against him.
Well, I think the gag order is totally unconstitutional. Can't even allow articles to be put in. As an example, these are articles that were over the last day and a half. They're very good articles. They say the case is a sham.
Judge Merchan has not ruled yet on whether Trump violated the gag order and did not indicate when that would happen, but he did appear to reject claims by Trump attorney Todd Blanche that posts Trump made about Stormy Daniels and a key witness, his former fixer Michael Cohen, were political in nature and not about the case. Judge Merchan said Blanche was, quote, losing all credibility with the court.
I'm not allowed to say anything. I just have to sit back and look at why a conflicted judge has ordered me to have a gag order. I don't think anybody's ever seen anything like this.
Prosecutors want the judge to fine Trump $1,000 for each violation. Meantime, former American media chief David Pecker continued with his testimony, explaining how he worked with Cohen to squash unflattering stories about Trump by buying stories from people and then not publishing them, a tactic called catch and kill. Pecker said he agreed to act as the campaign's eyes and ears for negative stories that could have affected Trump's White House bid. The case takes a break today before getting back underway on Thursday. I'm John Stolness.
Tensions are escalating at college campuses around the nation, with students demanding schools divest from Israel, including at New York's Columbia University, where all in-person classes were canceled at the Ivy League school over safety concerns. Correspondent Clayton Neville has an update.
Palestinian encampments are popping up at MIT, at Cal Poly, the University of Michigan, and others. Rallies and protests being held on campuses across the United States. Those in addition to camps at Columbia University and Yale. Calls for a ceasefire in Gaza and demands of administrators.
Yes, our administration has been ignoring us. We've had a meeting with them last semester, and we followed up with them and have been continuously ignoring us and not meeting our demands.
This woman's a student and organizer at the University of Texas at Dallas.
We want our university to issue a public statement and call for a ceasefire in Gaza and stand with its Palestinian Arab students.
This week, a crowd was dispersed at a rally at NYU after police said they were pelted with bottles, and dozens were arrested at Yale. More than 100 taken into custody last week at Columbia. Administrators there have now decided to switch to virtual learning for the rest of the semester because of the unrest and safety concerns of Jewish students. On the outskirts of some demonstrations, you'll find Israel supporters standing still and holding the Israeli flag.
We're here to support Israel and our Jewish friends. There's a lot of misinformation about the media. Hamas kills aid workers. Hamas is really trying to destroy Israel, and their message of to the river, to the sea, is really an anti-Semitic message.
This Texas college student calling on university administrators to more publicly support Israel.
We need to protect our Jewish friends, we need to protect our Jewish allies, and have a safe space on campus for them. Else we're going to risk becoming something like Columbia University, where we're discriminating against Jews.
The political world, of course, reacting too. In the midst of his hush money trial, former President Donald Trump had a message for leaders at Columbia.
Columbia should gain a little strength, a little courage, and keep their school open, because that means the other side wins.
Many Republican lawmakers demanding that universities crack down on anti-Semitism on campus. Meanwhile, many of the schools seeing donors yank their financial support, or at least threaten to. I'm Clayton Neville.
Senate overwhelmingly passes a new aid package. That and more when America in the Morning continues after these messages.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories, and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Welcome back. You're with America in the Morning. We've seen a few areas of the West receive snowfall this week. Today, portions of the East could see snowfall. Here's AccuWeather.com meteorologist LaTroy Thornton.
Today, showers will follow a potent cold front along its journey through the Tennessee and Ohio valleys, the Mid-Atlantic, and the Northeast, bringing numerous showers to the region, as well as the risk for a few rumbles of thunder in some areas. Once the colder air trickles in, watch for a high elevation snow in a few locations from northern areas of New York and Vermont into interior Maine, as well as yet another chance for frost or a freeze from western North Carolina and West Virginia across all of New England except the southern coast, plus a swath of the Great Lakes region early Thursday morning. A similar risk persists early Friday morning in the Northeast as the Great Lakes region starts to thaw. A bit to the west, a new disturbance takes shape over the central and southern plains through the coming days as the cold front instead stalls over that area. This will allow warm, moist Gulf of Mexico air to flow northward into much of Texas and Oklahoma today, ripening the atmosphere for showers and thunderstorms at times into tonight. This primed air mass lifts northward on Thursday, allowing a multi-day severe weather event to unfold across the center of the nation, bringing the risk for damaging hail, strong winds, and tornadoes from the plains into the Midwest through Sunday. Rounds of thunderstorms over this time span are expected to pose a flooding risk as well. Stray thunderstorms redevelop in parts of the west today as a storm heads toward Southern California, and storms may occur from the high ground of central and northern California into mainly southern parts of Wyoming and Idaho, mainly during the afternoon. A separate disturbance means showers for western Washington. In Boise, Idaho, a warm day is in store today with clouds mixing with afternoon sun and perhaps a shower with a high of 75. In Detroit, expect a cool day with breezy conditions and brightening skies and a high of 51. That's the nation's weather. I'm AccuWeather.com meteorologist LaTroy Thornton.
I'm John Trout. Remember, you can follow us wherever you get your podcasts. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, YouTube. Just search America in the Morning in your favorite listening app. The Senate on Tuesday night, by a 79-18 margin, passed an aid package providing billions for Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan, with a measure for Chinese-owned TikTok to be sold. As Ed Donahue reports, the Pentagon is ready to immediately ship Ukraine a massive military package once the funding bill is signed by President Biden.
Rest assured, America will never shrink from its responsibilities as a leader on the world stage. Today, tonight, we make Vladimir Putin regret the day he questioned American resolve.
The bill has been slowed down by Republican opposition in the House.
The war in Ukraine is a stalemate, has been for a while. Pouring more money into Ukraine coffers will only
prolong the conflict and lead to more loss of life. Instead, Congress is rushing to the further bankroll the waging of a war that has zero chance of a positive outcome.
In the Senate, Washington Democrat Patty Murray says the U.S. is on the clock.
There is no reason, no excuse for delay, not when bombs are falling on our allies, not when civilians, including kids, are suffering and starving, not when the world is watching to see if America is still united enough to lead.
In Ukraine, desperate troops are rationing or running out of ammunition on the front lines. Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says delay has strained the prospects of defeating Russian aggression.
Dithering and hesitation have compounded the challenges we face.
McConnell has made clear stopping Vladimir Putin is important enough for him to stake his political capital. Ed Donahue, Washington.
A former Washington State police officer accused of killing his ex-wife and his girlfriend, as well as kidnapping a baby, shot himself during a pursuit with police in Oregon. Police say Elias Huizar was spotted by state troopers on Interstate 5 near Eugene, Oregon. Huizar led police on a high-speed pursuit that ended when he stopped his car and shot himself in the head. Also in the car, a one-year-old boy the former police officer kidnapped. That child is now safe. At the time of the shooting, Huizar was under conditional freedom after being accused of raping a teenager. When we return on America in the Morning, U.S. markets rebound, and more on the U.S. versus TikTok after these messages. Welcome back. You're with America in the Morning. The Business Report is sponsored by Fisher Investments. Fisher Investments takes a disciplined approach with investing, helping clients navigate volatile markets. Learn more at fisherinvestments.com. Wednesday business headlines with CNBC's Jessica Ettinger.
Wall Street opens this morning after a winning day for the major averages. We're about halfway through earnings season now. Strong quarterly results yesterday from General Motors, PepsiCo, and UPS. After the closing bell last night, Tesla reported disappointing quarterly results, but it said it plans to introduce a cheaper electric vehicle next year. And that, for many investors, is the good news they were waiting for.
The concern has been, are they not going to be developing a new lower priced vehicle? Well, they do say within their release that they have updated their future vehicle lineup to accelerate the launch of a new lower priced, more modestly priced vehicle in the second half of 2025.
CNBC's Phil LeBeau. Tesla also announced job cuts, 6,000 people in California and Austin, Texas. Sales of its current models have slowed. New construction home sales rose more than expected last month to the most since last September. Lots of home builders have been cutting their prices and offering incentives. America's third biggest home builder, Pulte Homes, it's been taking mortgage rates down from 7.5 for a 30-year fixed into the fives.
They are using rate buy-downs, saying that the average Pulte buyer was getting a 5.75% starting rate as opposed to the 7.5 rates we're seeing now.
CNBC's Diana Olick.
What's the latest from Washington on the TikTok scandal?
Well, President Biden said he would sign legislation on his desk. How to handle TikTok is wrapped in foreign aid bills for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. TikTok's CEO has vowed a court fight. But one expert tells MSNBC he doesn't think TikTok's going to be banned.
Ban was the wrong word. This will be a divestment. I've always found in situations like this, money wins. And there's both American and Chinese investors that have about $250 billion on the line. So my prediction would be you're not going to lose your TikTok. It will be divested. People make a lot of money. And we will restore the same type of trade symmetry that China demands. But I'm now going to list every American media company that's been allowed to operate in China. Okay, I'm done. This is about trade asymmetry. You don't need to wrap yourself in an argument around First Amendment. This is trade symmetry. They would never let us do this there.
NYU marketing professor Scott Galloway. On today's watch list, we get a load of earnings. AT&T, Boeing, Ford, Facebook parent Meta, Hilton, IBM, Chipotle, General Dynamics, ServiceNow, and Waste Management. We find out durable goods orders for last month, plus we find out how many people applied for mortgages last week.
CNBC's Jessica Ettinger. When we return on America in the Morning, open Senate seat could tip the balance of power in Washington, and measles spread. Those stories after these messages. America in the Morning rolls on. The stage is set in Pennsylvania for what's expected to be the most watched U.S. Senate race in the nation for the November election. Lisa Dwyer reports that this vote could decide which party controls the United States Senate next year.
Pennsylvania's primary election results have put Democratic Senator Bob Casey and Republican challenger David McCormick on track for an expensive race that's expected to help decide Senate control on Capitol Hill in the November 5th election. Casey is seeking a fourth term, while McCormick is a two-time Senate challenger. Now McCormick's candidacy is shaping up as Casey's strongest challenge yet in his re-election bids. In the presidential race, President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump each easily won their party's nominations for the state. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Measles infections continue to spread across the country, with 125 cases now reported in 18 states. Correspondent Shelley Adler reports that the total in 4 months already tops all of the cases reported in 2022.
There have been 17 times as many measles cases in the country in the first 3 months of this year compared with the average number seen in the first 3 months of the previous 3 years. The authors of the government report say the increase represents a renewed threat to measles elimination in the U.S. There have been more than 110 cases of the contagious disease so far. The report adds that most of the recent cases involved unvaccinated Americans who got infected in the Middle East and Africa and brought measles back to the U.S. I'm Shelley Adler.
America in the Morning for Wednesday, April 24th, 2024 is produced by Jeff McKay. Senior producer Kevin Delaney. I'm John Trout. This is Westwood One. This is America in the Morning from Westwood One. I'm John Trout. Coming up this half hour, Trump holds court outside his New York trial. We'll have details.
President Biden takes the issue of abortion to the state of Florida.
Next week, one of the nation's most extreme anti-abortion laws will take effect.
I'm Linda Kenyon.
The governor of Tennessee considering a bill that would allow teachers to carry guns in schools. I'm Clayton Neville.
A woman who plowed her car into a birthday party faces a judge, and cyber attacks are on the rise.
A Wall Street Journal reporter will stay jailed on espionage charges in Moscow until at least late June. I'm Haya Pinjwani.
The infamous blue milk from Star Wars is now available at your local grocery store. I'm Kevin Carr.
Back after these messages. Welcome back. You're with America in the Morning. Summer-like thunderstorms expected in the Central Plains. Here's AccuWeather.com meteorologist LaTroy Thornton with the forecast.
Another slow-moving disturbance looks to become better organized over the Central and Southern Plains as a weather front stalls out over the region through the rest of this week. As this occurs, warm, moist air from the Gulf of Mexico will be drawn northward through much of Texas and Oklahoma, setting the stage for showers and thunderstorms at times through today and into tonight. As the warm, moist air lifts farther northward on Thursday, a multi-day severe event looks to take shape across the nation's midsection, with a risk for hail, damaging winds, and even tornadoes continuing from North Texas into parts of Missouri through Sunday. These repeated thunderstorms will also pose a flooding risk in some of these same areas. Farther to the east, showers track along a cold front passing through the Tennessee and Ohio valleys and through the Northeast, with widespread showers around the area today and even the risk for some rumbles of thunder in spots. As the colder air filters in, a bit of high elevation snow also will be possible from far northern New York and Vermont into interior sections of Maine, with another risk for frost or even a freeze expected from western North Carolina through West Virginia, across much of the Great Lakes region and all of New England except the southern coastline early Thursday morning. Spotty thunderstorm activity continues in portions of the west today as a disturbance barrels toward Southern California, with storms possible from interior parts of central and northern California, across southern Idaho and portions of Wyoming, especially during the afternoon hours. Otherwise, a separate storm brings showers to western parts of Washington state today, with perhaps some snow through the Cascades. Look for a mainly dry Wednesday across the Four Corners and through most of Montana. That's the weather across America. I'm AccuWeather.com meteorologist LaTroy Thornton.
I'm John Trout. Remember, you can follow us wherever you get your podcasts. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, YouTube. Just search America in the Morning in your favorite listening app. A tabloid publisher took the stand in New York, saying he pledged to be the Trump campaign's eyes and ears during the 2016 presidential race. As correspondent Julie Walker reports, the judge in Trump's hush money trial had strong words for the former president regarding the gag order he imposed. And after leaving the courtroom, Donald Trump met with the media.
The case is a sham, and it shouldn't even be tried. It shouldn't have been submitted. And I don't even know if you're allowed to put them in. We have a gag order, which to me is totally unconstitutional. I'm not allowed to talk, but people are allowed to talk about me. So they can talk about me, they can say whatever they want, they can lie, but I'm not allowed to say anything. I just have to sit back and look at why a conflicted judge has ordered me to have a gag order. I don't think anybody's ever seen anything like this.
Testifying in Donald Trump's hush money trial, the former publisher of the National Enquirer, David Pecker, told jurors that Trump's lawyer and fixer, Michael Cohen, would call him and say, "We would like for you to run a negative article on a certain political opponent." Pecker said he would send me information about Ted Cruz or about Ben Carson or Marco Rubio, such as bungling surgeon Ben Carson left sponge in patient's brain. Pecker said he would send Cohen drafts of these stories to which Cohen would provide feedback. Asked if he knew whether Cohen ever shared these stories with Trump, Pecker said, "I don't recollect that. No." Trump pled not guilty to charges of falsifying business records to cover up salacious sex stories about him during the 2016 campaign. At court in Manhattan, I'm Julie Walker.
With Donald Trump occupied in a New York City courtroom, President Biden took his abortion message on the road as he campaigned in Florida. Correspondent Linda Kenyon has the story.
At a campaign stop in Tampa, President Biden said former President Trump is proud that the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, thanks to the conservative justices he appointed to do just that.
There's one person responsible for this nightmare, and he's acknowledged and he brags about it, Donald Trump.
The Supreme Court's decision sent the matter to the states, and in just 1 week, the state of Florida will implement its own six-week ban on abortion.
It's criminalizing reproductive health care for before women even know whether they're pregnant. I mean, this is bizarre.
Florida's law is one of the most restrictive abortion bans in the country. And the president says if Trump is reelected, the bans won't stop there.
We can stop it when you vote.
And Biden says if the voters reelect him, there will be no federal ban on abortion.
If Congress ever passes a ban, I will veto that ban. Elect a Democratic Congress, Kamala and I will make Roe v. Wade the law of the land again.
Saying women this November will demand their right to make decisions about their own bodies.
Donald Trump will rip away the rights of freedom of women in America. It'll be all of us who restore those rights for women in America. And when you do that, we'll teach Donald Trump and the extreme MAGA Republicans a valuable lesson. Don't mess with the women of America. I mean it.
Lindy Kenyon, Washington.
A bill that would let teachers carry guns in schools along with firearms training is headed to the governor's desk in Tennessee. Correspondent Clayton Neville reports that measure is opposed by a number of students and parents who took their message to the Tennessee State Legislature.
Blood on your hands!
The bill passed the Republican-led House in Tennessee yesterday by mostly party lines. Democrats and four Republicans voted against it.
But first and foremost, I want to take my time. If there's any covenant parents in the gallery today, I want to apologize to you right now. I am so sorry that you're having to sit here and listen to this. We've done nothing for you. We've lied to you.
State Rep. Bo Mitchell.
We're going to throw more guns at the situation. That is not going to solve the problem. It's going to create more death. And I'm not fine with that.
The bill had already passed the Senate, and the House passage comes just over a year after the deadly shooting at the Covenant School in Nashville. It would let teachers who are trained to carry guns have a gun in their classroom. Who exactly is carrying, though, would not be made public, and teachers wouldn't be required to be armed.
This bill seeks to make the bar so high, but to allow the locals to have the ability to do that, that it would create a deterrent across our state.
State Rep. Ryan Williams is the bill's author in Tennessee.
This is not new, though, in the nation. There are 32 other states that have similar laws, both red and blue and purple, all across the United States.
The legislation now headed for Republican Governor Bill Lee's desk. I'm Clayton Neville.
When we return on America in the Morning, cyber attacks on the rise, and you may get a charge out of the new cost of an electric vehicle. Back after these messages. Welcome back. You're with America in the Morning. I'm John Trout. A Michigan judge set a $1.5 million bond for a 66-year-old woman accused of driving under the influence and slamming her SUV into a boat club building where children were having a birthday party. Police say the woman was drunk, but her lawyer said in court that his client suffered seizures in her legs, but admitted she did have one glass of wine that day. Marcella Chittister appeared before a judge with a cast on her right arm, and also in the courtroom, the mother of two children, ages 8 and 4, who were killed in the crash. That woman's third child, an 11-year-old, survived the car's impact but remains hospitalized with two broken legs, broken ribs, and a skull fracture. Chittister faces numerous charges, including two counts of second-degree murder. Cyber attacks on businesses are rising, on companies large and small. Lisa Dwyer reports that some of those attacked pay millions of dollars in ransom.
There's been a dramatic increase in ransomware attacks involving malicious software designed to block access to a computer system until a sum of money is paid. It's a troubling trend because a breach can be very costly and time-consuming. According to the Verizon 2023 Data Breach Investigations Report, the median cost per ransomware attack more than doubled over the past 2 years to $26,000. 74% of breaches are due to human failure to follow safeguards such as using two-factor identification, clicking on questionable content and links, and not changing passwords often enough. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
A Wall Street Journal reporter detained in Russia for months will now have to stay in a Moscow prison even longer, correspondent Haya Panjwani reports.
Evan Gershkovic, a 32-year-old reporter who was detained on espionage charges in March 2023, had his appeal rejected to seek an end to his pretrial detention. Last month, his arrest was extended until June 30th, and an appeal heard by a Moscow appellate court this week was rejected. Russian authorities have not revealed what evidence they have to support espionage charges against Gershkovic. He and the Wall Street Journal have denied the allegations, and the U.S. government has declared him to be wrongfully detained. Gershkovic is the first American reporter to be arrested on espionage charges in Russia since 1986. I'm Haya Panjwani.
The financial struggles for Tesla seem to be growing, but that may also be good for car buyers. Correspondent Norman Hall explains.
Tesla's first quarter net income plummeted 55% as falling global sales and price cuts sliced into the electric vehicle maker's revenue and profit margin. Tesla said it made $1.13 billion from January through March, compared with $2.51 billion in the same period a year ago. Revenue was $21.3 billion, down 9% from last year, as worldwide sales dropped nearly 9% due to increased competition and slowing demand for electric vehicles. The company also repeated that vehicle sales growth may be notably lower this year than last as it works on the launch of its next-generation vehicle. I'm Norman Hall.
Mega online delivery giant Amazon is offering a new subscription grocery service with lower prices for everyone. Here's Chuck Palm with that in today's tech news.
E-commerce giant Amazon has announced a new grocery delivery subscription option on Tuesday for members of its Prime program and customers who are recipients of government food assistance benefits. The subscription plan would allow Amazon Prime members to get unlimited grocery delivery at $9.99 a month on orders over $35 from Whole Foods Markets, Amazon Fresh, and other local grocery and specialty retailers. Low-income citizens who rely on the government's Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program to support their grocery budgets would pay a reduced $4.99 per month fee and have the same perks, but do not require Prime membership. The new program comes as part of the company's effort to expand its fresh food business in a space already occupied by players like Walmart and Target. Amazon's offering also includes one-hour delivery windows at no extra cost. Bitcoin trading at $66,000 and Ethereum at $3,200. For more tech news, visit allthetoptech.tech. I'm Chuck Palm.
The National Football League's annual draft will be held starting tomorrow night, and as correspondent Mike Hempen reports, it'll usher in a new crop of talented stars, but also bring in millions of dollars for the host city, Detroit.
Detroit was once one of the country's largest and most powerful cities, and it has bounced back after filing for bankruptcy in 2013. Lauren Stovall, the business lead at Hot Sam's, the 103-year-old men's clothing store and tailor shop, says people visiting the city for the first time will be surprised by what they see.
What's so great is when people actually come to Detroit, they are blown away because Detroit is not what they might have thought.
Rocket Mortgage majority owner Dan Gilbert says the draft is a good chance for Detroit to showcase itself to the rest of the country.
I think it's going to be another milestone in pushing Detroit up in people's minds.
There are new hotels, high-end and trendy restaurants and bars. Crime has been trending down in Detroit. The three-day draft is expected to bring at least $160 million to the city. I'm Mike Hempen.
With a closer look at what's happening in sports, here's our Robert Workman.
NBA playoffs first round. The Timberwolves smothered the Suns 105-93 to go up 2-0. Coach Chris Finch crediting the sixth man in Minnesota.
Fans have been unreal. Our guys have risen to their energy, and we're locked in from the start.
That's where the Pacers rolled over the Bucks 125-108, their first playoff win in 6 years, 37 points for Pascal Siakam. The series tied at one. Mavericks battled past the Clippers 96-93 to even that set at a game apiece, 32 for Luka Doncic. Stanley Cup playoffs first round, the Rangers tipped the Capitals 4-3 for a 2-0 series lead. Panthers went overtime to deflect the Lightning 3-2. Carter Verhaeghe scored 3 minutes into OT. Florida up now 2-0. Out west, the Avalanche rocked the Jets 5-2 to level that series at 1-1, and the Predators pelted the Canucks 4-1. They're tied at one game apiece. Baseball, the Guardians stayed hot with a 4-1 win over the Red Sox, their fifth win in a row, extending the best start in franchise history, 17-6. Reds ended the Phillies' seven-game winning streak with an 8-1 rout. Braves blanked the Marlins 5-0. Max Fried tossed a three-hitter. Mariners shut out the Rangers 4-0. Logan Gilbert and the Philberts with a three-hitter. Julio Rodriguez hit his first dinger of the season. Diamondbacks demolished the Cardinals 14-1. Pavin Smith hit a grand slam and drove in six. Arizona leads the majors in scoring, despite their sub-500 record. Brendan Rodgers hit a go-ahead salami to lead the Rockies past the Padres. Pirates snipped the Brewers. Andrew McCutchen led off the bottom of the first with a home run for the second straight night. Angels over the Orioles. Mike Trout hit his first leadoff homer since 2012. Dodgers nailed the Nationals. Shohei Ohtani put a 450-foot shot into the second deck on his first trip to D.C. Tigers overpowered the Rays. All of the runs via the long ball. Riley Green hit two of them. Mike Tauchman hit his first two taters of the year as the Cubs clubbed the Astros. Twins got two in the ninth to walk it off over the White Sox. Yankees held off the A's. Giants beat the Mets, and the Royals shaded the Blue Jays. That's Wednesday Sports.
Thank you, sir. When America in the Morning returns, an important story, including a phone number we should all be aware of. Also, lapping up Star Wars. Those stories after these messages. This is America in the Morning. Entertainers Ashley Judd and Allo Black went to the White House as part of a suicide prevention campaign. Correspondent Margie Zaraletta has details.
White House officials outlined funding and initiatives for preventing suicide, but it's the insight from Allo Black and Ashley Judd that they're hoping will hit home. Black, whose collaborator Avicii died by suicide in 2018, says calling a friend can make a difference, especially if you share a happy memory or even a song.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Just remember, you are the light.
Judd's mother, singer Naomi Judd, died by suicide 2 years ago. Judd says she, too, suffers from trauma and depression, but she has a different outcome than her mother because she's gotten treatment.
I know the feeling of not wanting to be here, but I had a different experience because I went to treatment in 2006 for unresolved childhood grief and sexual trauma, and I've been in good recovery for 18 years, and I've had a different outcome than my mother, and I carry a message of hope and recovery.
I'm Archie Zaraletta.
The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline offers services to talk to a skilled counselor. If you're feeling distressed and need to talk, call 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-8255. If you prefer to chat to a counselor online, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline offers that service as well. If you've ever wanted to try the blue milk from the Star Wars movies, here's your chance. Correspondent Kevin Carr pours it on.
A Star Wars legend from the original film is coming to a galaxy near you.
What is this Obi-Wan comes looking for?
He won't. I don't think he exists anymore.
Did you recognize it? It wasn't Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker or Phil Brown as Uncle Owen. Listen again.
What is this Obi-Wan comes looking for?
During the dinner scene on Tatooine, Luke poured a cup of blue milk, and the rest is history. Blue milk has become part of the Star Wars canon as much as Jedis, droids, and the Force. In the Star Wars universe, blue milk comes from the female Bantha, a beast of burden throughout the galaxy. In 2019, Disney began offering blue milk drinks at Galaxy's Edge in both Disneyland and Disney World.
Oh my god, it's so good!
Really good.
Yeah, it is. It's nice and cold, but it's got this great blast of flavor.
If you like something sweet and cold, this would be a nice refreshing drink.
Even the original Luke Skywalker had an opinion.
That's much better than the one I had in the movie.
Now fans can bring blue milk home. True Moo is distributing the dairy product around the country. It's available now, less than 2 weeks before Star Wars Day on May the 4th. The at-home product differs from the $8 option at the Disney parks. While Galaxy's Edge makes it as a fruit-flavored smoothie, the True Moo version contains low-fat milk flavored with vanilla and sugar. Vitamins A and D have been added, and it has about the same calories and fat content as low-fat chocolate milk. To see if blue milk is available at your local store, visit StarWarsMilk.com. I'm Kevin Carr.
Perhaps to be politically correct, we should have a red milk as well. America in the Morning for Wednesday, April 24th, 2024 is produced by Jeff McKay. Senior producer Kevin Delaney. I'm John Trout. This is Westwood One.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker.
Although I didn't really work with her a lot. But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a three-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord! We get it! They have chemistry!
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.